I believe is a message that God put in my spirit for you. Amen? And in the next few minutes that we're going to be together, I believe that the Lord has something for you. Amen, amen, amen. Open up your Bibles in the book of John, chapter number 6. From verse number 1, we're going to read a few verses there. Are you happy to be in the house of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of John, chapter number 6. Trying to still look for the book of John. Got it. John, chapter number 6. I know Sister Lorraine already put it up there. And the Bible says, after this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee, or Lake Tiberias. Many people followed him because they saw the miracles he did to heal the sick. Jesus went up on a hill and sat down with his followers, or his disciples. It was almost the time for the Jewish Passover feast. When Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough bread for all these people to eat?" And Jesus asked Philip this question to test him, because Jesus already knew what he had planned to do. I want you to tell somebody, Jesus already knows something to do about something. Come on, tell somebody, Jesus already has an idea about what he is about to do. And he is planning to do. He knows everything. And verse number 7, Philip answered, "We would all have to work a month to buy enough bread for each person to have only a little piece." Another one of his followers, or his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "Here is a boy with 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 little fish, but that is not even enough for so many people." And Jesus said, "Tell the people to sit down." This was a very grassy place, and about 5,000 men sat down there. Then Jesus took the loaves of the bread, thanked God for them, and gave them to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, giving as much as the people wanted. When they had all had enough to eat, Jesus said to his followers, "Gather the leftover pieces of fish and bread so that nothing is wasted." So they gathered up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left from the 5 barley of loaves. When the people saw this miracle that Jesus did, they said, "He must truly be the prophet who is coming into the world." Jesus knew that the people planned to come and take him by force and make him their king, so he left and went into the hills alone. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you that you brought us, Lord, into this house that is called by your name for a purpose. I pray that none of this your people, Father, shall be without a purpose by the time this service comes to a close. I pray, Holy Spirit of the living God, that you shall visit their hearts, even in the speaking of this word. Father, your word never goes out and fails to accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. And therefore, Lord, I pray that your word that has gone forth may bring back a report to you, a report of accomplishment of what it did, Father, this day. Father, I want to take power and authority and arrest this atmosphere, that it shall be conducive even to the transmission of the word of God, in the name of Jesus. I want to arrest any wandering mind right now that, Father, we shall be focused to your word in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the angels that are all over in this building here, Lord. And I thank you because they are watching over us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Use my mouthpiece to deliver to us that which you prepared in our spirit, for us, and in my spirit to deliver to us this afternoon. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say amen. Many times when you read the word of the Lord, you wonder whether, haven't you heard everything that has been spoken in a word? You know, when we've heard about this, we've read this word, and you've heard it preached in many crusades, even in Kenya. You know, this was a very favorite, you know, especially the things, the miracles that Jesus did were a favorite, you know, to the people who held crusades in Kenya. So I'm sure that you have heard this scripture spoken many times over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. And I wondered, you know, when I was thinking what to share, I heard the Spirit of God speaking to me about the scripture. And I was wondering I almost asked the Lord, okay, what is going to be there in that scripture that I have not heard? But immediately I started opening up the scriptures in the book of John. I saw exactly what the Lord wanted us to hear. Praise be to God. Thank God because of the word of the Lord. Thank God for this scripture. If you are you're in a habit of reading the scripture, be expecting to be surprised by the word of the Lord. Amen? Because it is amazing how the Lord, you know, uses his word and brings out freshness in it every morning. Amen? And I thank God because the Lord has something special for you. Now, the story is about the miracles that Jesus did. And he has performed a miracle. I believe in one of the instances he had performed this miracle, and wherever Jesus was going, because of the things that he did, people were attracted to the things that he did. Amen. And at this point, he plans to seclude himself to a place whereby he would have some time with his disciples. And the Bible tells us that they're going out into a mountain and they're resting, and he is teaching his disciples. I think they wanted to have just a private time with his disciples. And the people, unbeknown to whatever was happening, unbeknown to the disciples, they were looking for Jesus, and they were looking for him because of the healings that he had performed. They were looking for Jesus because of the extraordinary miracles that he had performed even to the people. And Jesus raises his eyes up and he sees this huge multitude that were coming towards them. And as we have read the word of the Lord, Jesus turned to his disciples and is asking them, what are we going to, where can we find? Is there any shop? Is there any grocery store? Is there any restaurant? Is there a Walmart near here where we can buy bread for this multitude? And the response that he got from one of his disciples was, I would put myself in the shoes of Philip. I would probably have said the same thing Philip told Jesus, because he said, you know, even if we walked, all of us, 1 month and gave all our pay, it will not be enough for everybody to have bread, but everybody would have just a little bit or taste a little bit of the bread, and it would not be like a full meal. Praise be to God. And then he turned to one of the other disciples. His name was Andrew, Peter's brother. And Peter looked around and he said, you know what? I can see a little boy here, and in his hands he has something that looks like a meal. He has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But then he asks, but what is that to all this multitude? Praise be to God. Amen. What is this? I mean, this is not going to be enough, but what are this among this many people that are gathered here? Praise be to God. And this little boy had come. I don't. We are not told of who this little boy is. We don't even know the name of this young boy. The Bible doesn't even give us the name of this little boy. And the Bible just calls him as a boy. He just, his addresses the little one as a boy or a lad, according to the translation that we have here. This is a lad here who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these among so many? Tonight, this morning, the Lord sent me to tell you and to ask you this question: what do you have in your hand? Amen? What do you have in your hand? Ask somebody, what do you have in your hand? Praise the Lord. And the title of my message is, Give It Up to Jesus. Give It Up to Jesus. Now, when this boy was making a trip to come and see the Savior, he didn't even have a clue that his lunch would feed all these people. When he made a trip and he looked like he was a very organized boy, he packed up his lunch because he didn't know what time he would come back. He packed up 5 loaves. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us whether his mom packed, you know, these 5 loaves and 2 fishes so that his boy would not go hungry. But all that we know is that he packed up and he prepared himself to experience the Savior. But unbeknown to the boy, he didn't know that this package that he carried would be a blessing to thousands of people. Now, the Bible tells us that when Jesus spoke to his disciples and asked them to have the people seat, he said that 5,000 men, I don't know how they counted them, but there were 5,000 men. That means that included the women and the children that were there. Praise be to God. And so he told them, have them sit down. Praise be to God. And so I was talking to you about this boy who carried his lunch. He didn't even have a clue that whatever he held in his hands would be a blessing to so many people in that gathering. And Philip was right, because when he spoke and answered the Savior by saying that even if we would all go to work and bring a wage, it would not be enough. Now, there are so many Philips that we have even in the church and in the body of Christ who speak negative words to you and try to hinder you from going to the place that the Lord has assigned for each one of us. Praise be to God. I want to put it to you that each and every one of us has something special that God, that the Lord has put in you that is capable of propelling you to a level or to a place where you are not this morning. I will repeat it again. The Lord has put something in each and every one of us that when you realize what it is, it can propel you to a place where God wants you to be and into a place where you are not this morning. Are you listening to me? It could be many, many times you have looked down upon the thing that you have. You have even watered it down and you disqualified it, even in your mind and even by the words of your mouth. Many people may have come along in your life, looked at that very thing that they had. They recognized it, but yet they watered it down and you resigned or you backed up to the thing that God has always wanted to use in your life to propel you to the next level of destiny. Am I talking to somebody? Praise be to God. Life as we know it, God never created you to just be for you to just be the beneficiary of yourself. But the reason why God put you on planet Earth is that you might be a blessing to somebody else. Praise be to God. If Mother Teresa wrote something and said that if your life never amounted and if your life never benefited anybody, it was not worthy living it here. It was not worthy you being extended that life by the Lord. The Lord put you on this planet with an intention that you'd impact somebody in your arena. During your life, you're going to meet so many people in life. Amen. In your entire life, I don't know how many people you have met. But maybe the Lord knows everything. Maybe it could be, maybe you've met 5,000 people so far. People that you meet in the train, people that you meet in your workplace, people that you meet, you know, by your neighborhood, people that you've met back in Kenya, people that you went to school with. It could be many, many, many people. But the question that I want to put across to you, what has been your impact to all those people that you have met in life? Have you impacted somebody's life so that when they look back, they will be able to say, oh, I remember. Tony told me one word, and I've held on that word, and I've been able to run with it. Praise be to God. This morning, I hear the voice and the words of the Spirit of God telling me that you need to search within your hearts. In fact, you might be aware of what you have. And the Lord is telling me, reach out and grab that which the Lord has given you. And you know what? That which you have remains by yourself. The Lord is telling us, if only you can trust me with the things that are put in your life and hand them over to me, and I can bring a multiplicity effect and cause them to propel you to the next level of your destiny. Praise be to God. The Lord wants us to excel. The Lord wants us to be prosperous. The Lord wants us to be victorious. The Lord wants us to move away from mediocrity. The Lord wants us to get to another level so that we feel that, you know, when we are sons and daughters of the kingdom, we ought to live like princesses and princes in this world. Praise be to God. Are you where you are supposed to be? That is the question I feel the Spirit of God is putting in my heart to ask you. Are you comfortable in the things that you do? Are you okay? Are you feeling like now you have arrived? The Lord God Almighty opened a way for you to come into this great nation called the USA. There are many people that have determined to come to this land, but doors have been closed for them. Are you listening to me? Thank God if you're an American, Sister Lorraine. You live and you are born in the greatest nation on earth. It may be unknown to you what maybe the sufferings go on in other parts of the world. But I want to thank God for each one of you, because you have been in a place where things don't work. And the Lord God Almighty opened up a door by his power and paved a way for you to come to this beautiful country. Amen. There's no way God would have brought you to the United States of America to just struggle and live the way, even actually into some people live worse than they were living back in Kenya. I believe that is an error. Praise the Lord. I believe that is a mistake. There's no way you can be in the greatest nation on earth and you struggle, you greatly struggle more than you struggled back in a country that was a third world. There must be a problem somewhere. Praise be to God. And I feel the Lord has given me a mandate to come and examine the word of the Lord and correct some things that needs to be corrected and speak out some things in the spiritual realm so that we can position ourselves to live according to how God wants us to live. Is somebody listening to me this morning? The young kid who comes to the meeting doesn't know that the meal is going to turn out to be a blessing to so many. When God put things in your life, you never know what quality God is going to use so that he can be a blessing to other people and the multitudes. It could be your personality. It could be your kindness. It could be your posture. It could be the gifts that the Lord has given you. It could be the Lord has given you a gift to be a singer. It could be when you speak up the microphone, you can speak the words with the eloquency so that people are wowed because of how you speak. I don't know what it is, but what I know is that there is something that is so unique that God has given to each and every individual. No one in this church can say that I look down on my heart, I look down in my spirit, I look down in my life, and I cannot see anything. There is something that you have that God is wanting you to stretch forth and pick up and hand over to him. Praise be to God. As long as the boy stuck with his lunch, it remained to be his lunch. Amen? It could only benefit him. Are you listening to me, church? As long as this boy held on his lunch, and as long as he carried it on his porch, it remained his lunch. But things changed, hallelujah, when Andrew saw him. And let me tell you, there's always going to be an Andrew who is going to spot what you have. Are you listening to me? Be careful, because you might be meeting with some Andrews in your life. And they are telling you, oh, James, move. I see this gift that you have, and God wants to use it so that he can bring glory to himself. But many times we've shut down some Andrews in our lives. Many times they're spoken and you never heard, because we were so engrossed in the things that we were doing, and we failed to spot the Andrew that God sent our way. Praise be to God. And the Lord spoke to Andrew, and he said, you know, and Andrew spotted the young man, and he said, I see a little man. I see a young man with the lunch in his hand. And Jesus said, he was speaking these things to his disciples to test them to see what they would see. And also, there are also people in your life, there are also Philips that have come in your life. When they looked at you and they saw nothing, they looked at the qualities of the life, of the various gifts that God has given you, and they dismissed them. Hallelujah. God ought to give us a mind, a spirit of discernment, to recognize our Andrews and to recognize our Phillips. Who are our Phillips in our life? Who are our Andrews in our life? I pray to God that God will raise us, will cause us to raise our spiritual antennae so that we may be able to recognize who our Phillips are and to set them apart from our Andrews that God is going to send in our lives. Hallelujah. Immediately, when Jesus heard what Andrew said, he said, I see a little boy, and he has 5 loaves of bread, and he has 2 fishes. At that very point, the Lord God told the disciples, have the man sit. Amen? Because somebody was holding something that he would use. Are you listening to me? He saw or he heard about something that he, a point of contact of the food for all these people. And he looked at that and said, have the people sit down. And when this man was asked to give up his lunch, there could be very, very various scenarios that could have happened. This young boy would have said, no, like, how can I give you my lunch? My mom packed this lunch for me. And so these guys came here, all of them, 5,000, didn't have a clue that they were going to meet the Jesus and they were going to be hungry. Why did he not pack lunch? So I'm not going to give this lunch. This is my lunch. But we don't see that scenario. It looked like he was ready to hand over his lunch. And he didn't even have a clue what was going to happen. In fact, maybe in his, I don't know, we don't even know the age of this young boy, but I'm thinking just in his innocence, he just handed over his lunch. He was, you know, there are kids, when you teach your kids generosity, they can give you anything. And so he handed over his lunch and he was left without nothing. But he didn't hand over his lunch to anybody else. It makes a difference who you hand that which God has given you to. It makes a difference who you hand it over to. Some of us have handed over our gifts to other people. When they came and they told you that we can do this thing, I can organize, I can connect you to a higher place. I can connect you to this rich man here who can give you a loan, or who can manipulate some things. And we ended up being frustrated because we gave that gift that God always demanded from you, and we gave it to someone else. But this little boy, he handed his gift to none other but Jesus. Praise be to God. When Jesus touches what you have, it makes all the difference. It might be look, it might be ignoble, it might be, when you look at it, people might have dismissed it. I can see this young boy maybe moving around the crowds, and maybe he was being stepped on, and maybe some of the young people, some of the adults were telling him, you move, what are you doing here? You know the way sometimes you can dismiss children and tell them, let the children be on the back. And they were just trying to mug him and to maybe step on him and to maybe he didn't look like he was of any importance. But unbeknown to these people, this man, this young kid, held what they were going to eat that afternoon. We might be with some people in this congregation. And people may have looked down on you, or you may have never come up to a limelight, but you hold the destiny of millions of children in Kenya. Are you listening to me? The only difference, the difference comes who asks you to give you that which the Lord deposited in your life. And when Jesus held up this lunch, it ceased from becoming the boys' lunch, and suddenly it became lunch for more than 5,000 people. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? That when Jesus gets hold of your gift, it doesn't matter how little it might and how insignificant it might be. When Jesus holds it, he sees it in a different way. The Lord is speaking to us this morning, and I can hear the voice of the Spirit speaking to me. What do you have in your hands? What do you have in your heart? I hear God speaking to me, telling me that there are books that are within your heart that are yet to be written. And all you have to do is tell God, God, I surrender my authorship to you. When God touches you, many people may have never known you as an author. But when God touches that gift in you, it makes the difference. And he gives you the words to write. And he tells you how to write it up. And he connects you up with people who can be publishers. And he connects up to you with the people who will be able to market your books. All that it makes a difference. Friends, connect and give it over to Jesus. Are you listening to me? When I was preparing this message, Sister Joyce, you came into my mind as I was praying. And this is a word for you, my sister. You have such an entrepreneurial spirit. And I felt and I saw you. I saw like you are reaching out to the Lord and you're telling God, God, take this thing that has been incubating in my life. Take it over. Hand it over to Jesus. And let me tell you, my sister, when you hand it over to Jesus completely and entirely, God will make the difference. Praise be to God. The Lord also spoke to you, Sister Charity. As I was praying in the morning, I heard that the prophet of God came and told you that your blessings are in the servanthood. Don't let that be taken away by the devil. Whatever opportunity you get to serve, serve like you've never served before. Hand it over to Jesus. Tell Lord, I don't even know how to prepare these things. I don't even know I can link up with some people. I don't even know how I can acquire. All you need to do is surrender it to Jesus. And tell Jesus, Jesus, my servanthood. I don't know. I don't even know the route to take. But oh Lord, all I know that the man of God told me is to surrender it to you. When Jesus touches it, my God, it makes all the difference. It ceases from becoming your service. And now you are getting into a higher level where Jesus is connecting you up. Let me tell you, church, that God has given me divine connections while I have been serving him. It is in the service of the Almighty God that God will orchestrate ways and divine connections, and he will find you while you're serving him. Does not the Bible say that the children of God shall dwell in the courts of the Lord, and they shall flourish in the courts of the Lord? It is in the courts of the Lord as he finds you serving, as you identify. Oh my God, as you identify what he has given you. Just hand it over to him. Just hand it over to him. Hear what Mother Teresa, alive, what Mother Teresa said. Here, this is a quote he says. We know only too well that we are doing what we are doing. She was giving a speech, and somebody just wrote this quote that she gave. She said, we know only too well that what we are doing is nothing more than a drop in the ocean. Amen? It's just only a drop in the ocean. But if the drop were not there, the ocean would be missing something. Do you love that? Whatever you do, it might be insignificant to many people. But when you hand it over to Jesus, it might not even seem like it is doing something. But the ocean will not be without, when the ocean is, when the world is without what you're doing, the world would be missing something. Are you listening to me? What do you have in your hands? Let me tell you. In order for us to experience extraordinary expedition with God, that's a word. In order for us to have an expedition, somebody say expedition. Expedition is when you are continually enjoying the favor of the Lord upon your life. Not going through cycles. We were here on Friday and we were breaking all the cycles for the people in the church. You start a business and then within 6 months you look like you're flourishing. And then 6 months, boom, you're again down the road. You are down to square zero. We refuse that and we disconnect those cycles in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to experience expeditious presence and favor from the Lord. Man, let me ask you this. What would be wrong if we would have a billionaire in our church? What would be wrong? Oh, you know now you're quiet on me. Kwani, you don't believe what I'm saying? What would be wrong, Pastor Francis, if you'd become a billionaire? What would be wrong? And you park your Rolls Royce outside here. Oh, maybe where God is taking us because you're not going to be here. I see big things. What would be wrong if James moved, you'd become a millionaire? What would be wrong, Pastor Julius, if you'd be the president of SMU? What would be wrong with that? What would be wrong with that? Sister Joyce, what would be wrong if you are featured in the Dallas News? A woman from Kenya is making it from rags to riches. What would be wrong if we'd be reading about that? Mama Maya, what would be wrong if you owned a restaurant of your own? Hallelujah. What would be wrong with that? What would be wrong with that? Brother Gideon, what would be wrong if you had 1,000 trucks company calling Giddy Incorporated? Pastor, what would be wrong if you be the one organizing music in this whole arena? What would be wrong with that if we can meet with an assembly of men and we'll be featured by CNN and we'll be featured by Fox News? What would be wrong with that? What would be wrong with it? The thing is, in order for those things to happen, Sister Michelle, listen. In order for those things to happen, we have to have a mind shift. We have to remove ourselves from the Kenyan mentality because we are now living in a different land. Are you listening to me? Anybody can make it in this land. I am quitting seeing myself as a Kenyan. I know I'm a Kenyan. There's a blood, I'm a Kenyan. But I seize myself. I remove the Kenyan mentality. And I now focus because I'm in the greatest nation on earth. God has positioned you. You must also reposition yourself. Are you listening to me? Oh my God, are you listening to me? Now, repositioning yourself. I went to, there's a place I normally take my trailers to go so that they can be fixed. And the guy who fixes those trailers, or the owner of that shop, as you would expect, is a guy from Mexico. You know, would you not be surprised if you would go to buy yams and the things that are that you love, you know, like Duma and things? Who would likely be the owner of that shop? Huh? Chinese? Thank you, Julius. Chinese or a Korean? Somebody, even when he's speaking English, he says, "I thought." It's like they have a chuckling voice. You don't even have to hear what they are saying. Yet they're the owners of those things. What would be wrong if all of us would have even, oh, you know what? If you want these things, go to Sister Charity's shop there. She has everything. What would be wrong with that? So I'm going, this. I want just to tell you about how we need to reposition ourselves. So I'm going to this guy. And he says, Tony, you know, I'm having so many Kenyans coming to fix my trailer, but I need to speak your language. So he asked me, you know, like the way somebody can ask you, how do you say, how are you? I say, habari yako. So, you know, I told him, habari yako bwana, habari yako bwana, because the people that come, you know, are men. So, habari yako bwana. And then he asked me, I am busy, come later. So I told him, kuja badai. And he's practicing and he's practicing. So people come, he say badai. And then I'm on my way out. He says, hey, Tony, please come. You have to tell me two things. The people from Kenya, they say a lot. What do you say? Stop bargaining. This is too expensive, even when I give. And I'm like, at that point, I stood up because every Kenyan, he says, even when I give them the cheapest of the cheapest, they still complain. Give me aloha, please. This is so expensive. So I told him, wacha kulialia. And then he asked me, also, there's one thing. Sometimes they don't have money. And when they come, they want to take everything on credit. And I have to keep on calling them and calling them so that they can bring the money back. So what do you say? Bring my money back. I need to move to proceed in my business. I told him, leta pesa yangu bwana. So let me tell you. When he calls me, he says, wapi pesa yangu, wacha kulialia. He told me he has been telling people like that. He's been getting a lot of business. But you see, it took a man all the way from Hispanic to come and understand our culture. People are still living in the Kenyan mentality. When you're given a credit, you don't ever pay. You even assume that shop does not exist. You cut a corner somewhere so that he doesn't see you. And kulialia. You know, let me tell you, guys. Wacha kulialia, bwana. We have to move out of this mentality whereby everything, because let me tell you, if you are not aware, this is what we call repositioning ourselves. I'm explaining what repositioning yourself is. When you reposition yourself, you have to see your mentality as somebody who is going somewhere great. You know, when you're given and you know that that is a fair price, $40 to fix something that would have costed $100, you still want to finjilia that guy and you want $20. Wacha kulialia bwana. The kulialia mentality is from Kenya. We have come into this nation, see yourself like you'd even want to bless the business of that person. That is what is repositioning ourselves. Amen? Reposition yourself. Because let me tell you this, guys. Jesus is willing to take whatever you have. Your business acumen. He is ready to take it and give thanks and give it to you so that you can prosper. But Jesus looks at us and he says, if they are not little in the little that I've given them, if they have not been faithful in the little that I've given them, how am I sure that once I touch it, because Jesus is willing, ready, and able to touch it, Mama Maya. She is willing, ready, and able to touch it. But he's asking himself, how faithful, how ready are they to handle millions? If you have not been able to just even appropriate the $1,000 the Lord gives you every month, how are you going to be able to handle millions? Reposition ourselves. That's the word that I hear. Reposition yourself. Reposition yourself. That means reposition myself in my integrity. The way I handle people, I have to handle people with integrity. I have to be faithful in the things that I do. I have to be honest. Are you listening to me? Honest is an aspect of repositioning yourself. How are you honest? When you go to work, you're supposed to clock in at 8, but you're clocking at 9, but you've asked somebody in your place of work to clock for you at 8. And yet you're telling God, I'm going somewhere. Where are you going? You are not going nowhere. You are marked timing. Oh, you think we don't know what people do? How can the Lord bless you when you're not faithful in your place of work? God has given you somebody to take care of. And because they have been too much, you've been pinching them and telling them, and you speak to them in Kikuyu. You know? And you're supposed to take care of good care of them. And then you come here and you say, I am going somewhere. Where are you going? Reposition yourself. You know what? The sacred church, listen to me. I know this is too much for maybe somebody thinks I'm stepping on their toe. Whenever you do something, see Jesus standing next to you. Are you listening to me? Whether you are sleeping, whether you're praying, whether you're talking to somebody, see Jesus as a silent bystander standing next to you because he listens to every conversation. And let me tell you, when you assume or when you know that Jesus is right there, you're going to be faithful. You're going to be honest. You're going to be truthful. Eh? Everything you do about you will be repositioning yourself Church, listen. The moment we reposition ourselves, then Jesus is saying, I can look at you. I can see that you're ready to hand the millions that I'm just about to give to you. I can see your faithfulness. When I look at the records, I don't even need to go far. But I can see that even in the little, you have been faithful. Amen? Solomon, in the book of, Second Chronicles, chapter number 1. When he was anointed as king, he knew what he wanted to hand over. He wanted the Lord to do something extraordinary. Do you know what he did? The Bible says that he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. Huh? 1,000 burnt offerings in the altar. And it was like a sheep or whatever they were slaughtering. It could have been a cow they were slaughtering. And you say, go ahead and offer another one. Go ahead and offer another one. Go ahead and offer another one. In those days, you just offer one. And this will still be acceptable to the Lord. But I see Jesus or God in the throne and say, come on now, what is going on here? And Solomon, he said, go ahead and offer another one. Go ahead and offer another one until it reached 1,000. And I'm saying, and I'm seeing God saying, I have never seen such a respect and such an honor by an earthly king like this. Do you know what the Bible says? That the Lord came and spoke to Solomon in the night and he said, you have astounded me. You have shocked me what you did this afternoon. What can I do for you? Ah. The guy knew that he had to reposition himself. He repositioned himself to appease the Father. I'm not saying that you do this in a way of bribing the Lord because you're not bribing him. But let your service be so known in heaven that when the angels are conversing in the streets of heaven, they are talking about Alan Bogwa. You know, they may not really, maybe they know how to pronounce your name because they're angels. Anyway, they can pronounce any language. But they're going, have you seen that Alan Bogwa? Oh, you can, have you considered that man? That man is such a, he whatever he's doing, whatever he's working, he is supporting the ministry, he is doing this. And let me tell you, when your name is mentioned in heaven, you better be setting yourself up for a blessing. Are you listening to me? Set yourself up. So he positioned himself and God comes and tells you, what can I do for you? And he says, you know what? I want you to honor my father David, who was king. And all I would need from you is wisdom and knowledge. He set him up. Let me tell you, when you set yourself up, is that on the screen? You can read it. When you, God sets you up and he's asking you, what can I do for you? My God, my God, my God. It doesn't matter what you speak because God will not just bring that blessing only. He says, not only am I going to bless you with wisdom. Not only am I going to bless you with riches, I mean with knowledge, but I'm also going to bless you with positions. I'm going to bless you with things. I'm going to bless you with abundance so that there will not be any king before you who has as much as I am going to give you. Neither is there going to be another king coming after you who will have as great things and mighty mightiness as you, King Solomon. Why? Because he positioned himself. He did an extraordinary thing to the Lord. Let your service to the Lord be extraordinary. Whatever God has called you to do, Brother James, whether it's in that business, excel and do something extraordinary. Don't settle to something that whatever, what everybody does, because what are you going to be different anyway? Because if your job is just to do whatever everybody does, then what is that? Does it make any difference? Sister Leah, how you bring up your child, let it be extraordinary. How you treat your husband, let it be extraordinary. How you treat your children, how you come to church, let it be extraordinary. What you do in the house of God, let it be extraordinary. Pastor Francis, oh Jesus, I feel this thing. Let it be extraordinary. Are you listening to me? David and Goliath, you've heard about the story. David never amounted to much. But when he faced Goliath, you know, this Goliath had everything, armory of war. But the only thing that David had, he had only 5 stones. And he said, you come to me in your might, but I come when God touches my stones, you're going to be nothing. And it makes a difference when what you have in your hand. Are you listening to me? What do you have in your hand? What do you have? Oh, Jesus, what do you have in your hand? Praise be to God. You see, Joseph was just a young man. He was the last born of his brothers. But you know, he had this thing in him. He was a dreamer. And you know what? I learned something last Sunday, that he started dreaming when the father made him that coat of many colors. Praise the Lord. He had a unique gift, but he maximized on that gift that God had given him. He became a dreamer. Somebody say a dreamer. A dream is anything that you have contemplated in your heart, that I would want to be this. I would want to be such and such at a particular time in the future. That is what you call a dream. It is not just a contemplation. I know some of you see yourself maybe. You see, one time I saw myself, you know what? I'm not just going to drive. I wanna do something different. Maybe it could be you. Maybe you're a nurse and you're saying, you know what? A time I want to see myself. I'm contemplating myself even to own a business where I can hire nurses, where I can do other things, related to my career. That is a dream. And you know what? Is it this lady who is a daughter of Anyang Nyong? What's her name? Lopita? Kapropita? Lupita? Lupita Nyong'o says that your dreams are valid. No one can invalidate your dreams. And I believe that it's God who gives you that contemplation. When we came here on Friday, I thank God what Brother Albert said. He said, I am going to own a house, 7 bedrooms. I know some of you now have started dismissing that already. Don't be a Philip. You need to say, receive it, my brother. Be an Andrew. I can see somebody with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Don't be a Philip. Some of you are saying that like that. But you say, receive it, my brother. I see you in the future. That's what Brother Julius says. I can see you in the future. I can see you owning these businesses. I can see you owning a business. I can see you having employees in the name of Jesus. Receive it, my brother, in the name of Jesus. Joseph, he capitalized on the dreams, and see how God propelled him. From being the last born, being thrown into a pit, being taken into prison, being even chased by Potiphar's wife, and guess where he ended up? When God touches what you have, it doesn't matter. People might throw you down. Even the process of getting where you might be going might be uneasy. But you know what? God has determined when the finger of God is upon the gift, when the finger of God is upon your talent, when the finger of God is upon your singing ministry, when the finger of God is upon your motherhood, when the finger of God is upon whatever that you have determined to hand over to God, you will go far. The process might not even speak anything, because the process might take you to the prison. The process might take you to a dungeon. But the end of it all, you might become a prince, the head of a nation in Egypt. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me, church? Oh, glory to Jesus. Look at them. Daniel and his friends. Oh my God. I don't even have to mention that. You know what happened to Daniel? Just because of their integrity, they chose not to defile themselves with the choice food of the king. And they said to you, Nebuchadnezzar, we cannot even bow. They went even to another level. They were thrown into the fire. But because of their integrity, God put a finger on their integrity. And God gave favor to Daniel. Praise be to God. Look at Moses. Oh my goodness. All these examples are in the Bible for us. Look at Moses. Moses went back and forth so many times that if our God at that time, I would have struck him dead. Seriously. But God looked at the heart. He says, God have never been eloquent. Suppose they reject me. And God says, what is in your hands? What is in your hands? And Moses looks oblivious that he had a staff, a shepherd's staff, a stick that he had cut somewhere, and it was the staff that he was using. And God says, you will know that I'm God. When I touch that staff, it will not become a shepherd's staff. Throw it on the ground. And immediately it became a snake. And I'm almost seeing Moses running away and wondering. There are some things that are going to shock you. There are things that are going to surprise you. You're not going to even believe that God is doing them. But when the finger of God is on a thing, see, I don't want to move if the finger of God is not in a thing. Because I know when the finger of God is in a thing, I'm going to go somewhere. Are you listening to me? Oh, goodness gracious. Look at this woman. I cannot conclude this service before I speak about this woman with the little oil. You remember the story? Is this the Shunammite woman? Who, she said, this, the servant of the Lord, Elisha, comes to him. And he says, this, Pastor Francis, okay, she was pestering the man of God to come and see him because he wanted to talk to him. And he says, what is it that I can do for you? He said, you know, my husband was a minister. He was a servant of the Lord. And he died and he had so much credit. And now his creditors want to come and take my sons so that he would be, so that they would be slaves. I don't even know what to do. I don't want my sons to go. See, the man of God asked him, what do you have in your house? This is the question the Lord is asking us. What do you have under your belt? What do you have, Gideon, in your heart? What do you have, Pastor Julius? What do you have? I know you're a man of integrity. You know, when people speak, they give you respect. Have you noted that? There are people who, when they speak, you have to be at attention because they're speaking something. But there are people who speak and say, ah, you know, even you're not even listening. That is a gift. Capitalize on it. Amen? I know the qualities that I have that when I go to somewhere and I speak to somebody, they just like me. In fact, let me tell you something. Somebody from another country, I'm not even going to tell you. This guy, and I know when I'm supposed to tell you this. This guy just looked at me. He said, you know what, Tony? I want to sell my business. And I want to sell it to you. I said, what? How much is it going to cost? Okay, he mentioned the money. A lot of money. I don't even know where the money would come from. He said, there's a guy who came to buy the business cash. But he felt, no, I'm not going to sell this business. You know what I do? I just go to his shop. We converse. We don't even have a relationship. Just talking, and the guy just likes me out of the blues. I like the way you do. I like your integrity. I said, you don't even know me. How can you say you love my integrity? I like the respect. I like the way you talk. He said, I want to sell the business. Go look for the money. And I said, what? You know, that's how we say, what? Capitalize on what God has given you. I'll use it to the maximum. God, I'll tell God this favor that you give me when I meet people. Let it, put your finger on it. So that they'll not see this man from Africa, but they'll see a man of God in me. So the Shunammite woman says, the servant asked him, what do you have? She said, I don't have anything but by a jar of oil. She said, okay, go look for drums. Listen what the Bible says, and I'm just about to conclude. Listen. Elisha said to her, this is in 2 Kings chapter number 4. You can go read it for yourself. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? What do you have in the house? And she answered, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Amen? And then she tells her, go look for some drums, barrels. And then she said something, don't look for a few. Why? Because of the hand of God. Let me tell you, when God has his finger on this juice, it can fill the whole world. He said, do not look for a few. And he said, send your sons now to go look for the barrels. Bring them in the house. Bring them, all of them. Do not look for a few. And she said, start pouring the little oil on the into the drums. The oil is going, and it's going, and it's filling up. And he's filling up. In other words, if he had as many jars as he could have afforded, it would still have filled up. It had filled up until he said, there's no more. Then the servant of the Lord said to him, to her, go sell and pay the credit and live on the rest. What a powerful. This God who did those things for those people is still the same today. My God. If you can take him at his word. Are you listening, church? Let me tell you. I am looking forward for a time whereby we shall have some of us who will do extraordinary things. Not just doing things. You know, sometimes I find ourselves in our community. When you hear there's something that is being done by somebody, we all go like together. You hear this is the field now going, we all go together. The other day, believe it or not, we were told with Gideon, Kenyans and plots. We heard that there was a plot being sold in Hillsborough. And Gideon told me, Pastor, I cannot leave my pastor. There's a plot. We all went to Hillsborough. And even though we made some money out of it, actually I made $800. When I came and examined the deal, it was not a good deal at all. But you know, everybody's telling, Pastor,
They are going to get finished. Let's go.
And I said, I cannot even call my friend Julius. I cannot call Francis because I don't know what the deal is. But just because I heard there's a deal, we all went like sheep. And when I came and sat down, we sat with my wife. And we said, this is not a good deal. This is for people who are looking forward to retire and they want to go there. Their children are all grown and now they want to resettle. They have millions in their bank accounts and they can go settle there. I'm here to get there, so I don't need it. But you know what? By going, God was so gracious. They gave me $800 for just going. So I'm saying, we all follow each other. Suppose we can come out of the box and think differently. Have people who are going to go to China, go to Bangladesh, get some suits, come and sell here so that you're doing something different. Ah! Are you listening to me? Please, can you give me 5 minutes so I can read this thing? Because I heard like I needed to read this. Listen to this. This is a few millionaires who just came out of nothing. I got this online, by the way. You can go online and find it. This guy, his name was Kenny Trout. He is the founder of Excel Communication. How many of you have you heard Excel? Yeah, you've heard it because I went to pick up loads there. Now, the founder of Excel Communication paid his way through college by selling life insurance. Listen to his short story. Trout grew up with a bartender dad and paid for his own tuition at South Illinois University by selling life insurance. He made most of his money from phone company Excel Communications, which he founded in 1988 and took public in 1996. 2 years later, Trout merged his company with the Telegroup in a $3.5 billion deal. He's now retired and invests heavily in racehorses. How many of you would want just to be in the racehorses? Because you're so rich, you don't need to go anywhere. You just want to admire horses racing. Hiya. Now listen to the Starbucks owner. Do you know the Starbucks? The Starbucks owner, are you listening to me? Starbucks owner Howard Schultz grew up in a housing complex for the poor. This is his short story. In an interview with British tabloid Mirror, Shu says, growing up, I always felt like I was living on the other side of the tracks. I knew the people on the other side had more resources, more money, happier families, and for some reason, I don't know why or how I wanted to climb off ends and achieve something beyond what people were saying was possible. I may have a suit and a tie on now, but I know where I am from and I know what it's like. Shu ended up winning a football scholarship to the University of North Michigan and went to work for Xerox after graduation. Shortly after, he took over a coffee shop called Starbucks, which at the time had only 60 shops. Shoes became the company CEO in 1987 and grew the coffee chain to more than 16,000 outlets worldwide. Okay. You want to know something about Oprah? Oprah Winfrey? Okay. This Oprah Winfrey, her net worth right now is $2.9 billion. Somebody say billion. Now, Oprah was born to unwed teenage parents in Mississippi. This media mogul wore dresses that her grandmother made out of potato sacks. How many of you have ever put on a potato? In fact, I read this, I said, no. There's something wrong. I have to shift my mind. Yeah? Made out of potato sacks. After being molested, she ran away at age of 13 and became a mother of 14. But her son died at infancy. Sent to live with his father, a barber, Emma Kinyozi, in Tennessee, she got a full scholarship in college, won a beauty pageant, and was discovered by a radio station. Her empire is now worth $2.7 billion, which she shares with the world through her philanthropic works. Amen? I can go on and on and on. I read these stories. I couldn't even believe it. Somebody even who actually was on the streets here. One of the stories of a millionaire, he lived in the streets and somebody just saw him, an Andrew, and he said, you have something that I can use. Picked him up, dusted him a little bit, and he believed in himself. Why can't we have such stories here? We can in Jesus' name. Amen? Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. I would like you to lift up your right hand right now. Lift up your right hand and say this after me. Father, say it like with confidence. Say, Father, I have what it takes to make it big in Jesus' name. Father, I commit what you have given me. I commit my gifts. I commit my talents. I commit everything you have given me to you, Lord, so that you can use it powerfully for my generation. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of mediocrity. In the name of Jesus, I choose to rise up to see beyond the horizon, because I know you have something beautiful than what I have. Say like you mean it. You have something more beautiful than what I have. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I bless you. I glorify your name. Lord, I pray for these, your daughters and sons. Lord, I pray that you will cause each one of them to reposition themselves. Because I feel like there's a great rain that is coming. Lord, and I pray that none of us will escape and will fail to see what you are just about to do in the lives of these individuals. Lord, if you brought Armenians, if you brought Chinese into this country, some students that I read that the main job was washing dishes, and now they are owners of 21 fashion something. Lord, you can make sons and daughters great. Help each one of us to believe in ourselves, that we can go for the greatest. We can be at the top of the mountain in the name of Jesus. I come against every work of the enemy in the name of Jesus. This whispering voices of the devil that comes to tell people that they cannot make it, I silence it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, may you increase the volume of your voice. Let your voice be cranked up so that they'll hear it when they sleep. As they move, as they walk, as they move, Lord, they'll be seeing themselves in the future, and they'll see themselves as CEOs of companies. They'll be seeing themselves as owners of businesses in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I even bless your name. If there's anyone in this church that is sick in their body, Lord, I declare your healing power in the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord, and be glorified in their lives. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say amen. Go believing it. It is yours. In Jesus' name, Pastor Julius. Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of Jesus.